men think or say pertaining to God, no matter their rebellion, no matter the evil, their hatred toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of Scripture, none of that is in any way going to deter God from that seed that Christ Jesus came to save and did save. It's already too late, whatever the men think, because he came, finished the work, and ascended and rose on high. So he ever lives to intercede on behalf of that seed. But let's just think about this particular theme down through this portion that I've read for you. His seed shall prosper. And here's the first way I see this, that his seed would prosper, thinking of Joseph, because God purposed it. God is not a God that tries something and fails and then tries again. That's man. What God purposes, he does. So mark that down. When we talk about whether it had to do with Joseph or whether it has to do with Christ and his finished work and what he came to accomplish, his seed shall prosper because God purposed it. That's it. We see that how the brethren treated Joseph in that they wished him dead. In fact, at the end, that's what Joseph told them when they were finally brought to bow to him. It was impossible that they not be brought to bow. That was in God's purpose all along, even though it was over the years that this unfolded. And they feared him. When they realized who this was, they feared him. And yet, Joseph said, "Fear not. What you meant for evil, but God purposed for good." This faith that Paul talks about growing here, this is the point. It's in contrast to this mystical, touchy-feely, man-centered profession of faith that has no substance other than just, you know, I made my decision. That's not faith. That's not faith that's being promoted today in religion. But where there's true faith, it's the Word of Christ. It's the knowledge of Christ. It's His finished work that becomes ever clearer, ever plainer. You become ever more persuaded of it. Why? Because the Word remains where God has sown it. He's given life. That's that seed that's been sown by the Spirit of God. And the more we see Him as the object of that faith, the less confidence we have in our own believing. See, that's the thing. Everybody, when they hear faith, they go, "Okay, I got to believe more. I got to believe more." No. The more you see of Christ in His finished work, the object of faith, the less you have confidence in your believing. And the more you rest in what He has done, in that imputed righteousness, which as you grow, you understand, if it's not that, I haven't got a hope. I haven't got a hope. As the Lord teaches them, that's the key there, that I shall teach them, then they are considered as those that keep my covenant and my testimony. How is it that we've kept the covenant? How is it that we have kept the testimony if we're God's children? Well, in Christ. Everything Christ did was on behalf of that children that the Father gave him. It was all said and done. He said, "Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me." And notice, it says, "Their children also shall sit upon thy throne," notice, "forevermore." We're talking about an everlasting kingdom that has been established by this one who was promised to David, the fruit of his body, that God purposed to set upon the throne. So is this something we're still waiting to be fulfilled, or is it something that has been fulfilled? I will tell you, as we look at this, it's been fulfilled.